highlighting the blunt and uncompromising teachings of Atanapursa on A Course in Miracles. And what inspired this book was back in 2007, I read The Disappearance of the Universe for the first time, and I was like, wow, Atanapursa just like, they're like saying what I think spirituality is all about. They were like putting my spiritual path into words for me. So I resonated with them right off the bat, and I knew what they were saying was all true. Except for one thing I had to really think about was that God didn't create the world, but by the time I finished reading the book, I totally understood that concept. But later on in 2007, a friend of mine gave me this gift card, the Gary Renard gift card set there with the quotes on the cards. And I'm looking through the cards, and I wasn't that crazy about the cards. I thought they could have pulled better quotes out from the book, so I decided to make my own cards. So I bought some index cards and started handwriting them on 3x5 cards and brought them to my course group, and we read a card, pick a card, read a card before our course group meeting and all that. And then I started posting these on the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo group as a daily quote of the day kind of a thing. And, you know, a couple of people were saying, you know, Mike, you should make a book with all those quotes you're posting. And, yeah, at first I thought that was kind of tacky because if I was going to ever write a book, I figured, well, it'd be my own writing. But, you know, a couple months later, I was like, well, what the hell? I don't have anything else better to do. So I put together this book, and about one third of it is my own writing, and then the other two thirds are quotes from Disappearance of the Universe, as well as Gary's second book, Your Immortal Reality. And I'll just quickly go through the chapter titles here. My book is divided into three parts. Part one is called Life of Mikey, and I talk about my spiritual path and my background before I got into the course and Disappearance of the Universe. That first part is divided into four chapters. Chapter one is called Mass Hole Mike. I'm originally from Massachusetts, and people from the other New England states, you know, kind of tell people from Massachusetts that they're mass holes, usually because of the way they drive and stuff. So I just kind of use that term on myself in jest. Chapter two is called Go West, Young Man. That's kind of like my story about moving up to the West Coast and how I felt guided by spirit to do so. Even though I didn't have a real plan, it was kind of like a leap of faith thing, if you will. And then chapter three is called Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? And I talk about how I came up with the title for my book. Chapter five is, you know, it's a very short chapter on meeting Gary Renard and the workshops I've been to of his and hanging out with him and stuff. And then part two is called A Course in Miracles and the Spiritual Community, and that's also divided into four chapters. Chapter 5 is Atanapursa's Keys to Understanding A Course in Miracles. I just pulled out a lot of stuff from Gary's two books on concepts of better understanding the Course, and I threw in a little bit of my own writing in there as well. Chapter 6, Atanapursa's Take on Other Teachings. I know from what Gary told me, a lot of people had some mixed reactions to what Atanapursa have to say about other teachings out there, and I pulled those quotes in there, and I've certainly didn't do so to like put down anybody's beliefs or anything. I just felt if you want to do the course, it's, you know, you got to know what's not the course in order to really understand the course and go all the way with it. So I pulled those quotes and put in that chapter there, and it has a little bit of my own writing too. Chapter 7, Course in Miracles, subtitled Teaching, Borrowing, and Compromising. And basically, I pulled a lot of quotes of Atanapursa talking to Gary as a teacher of the course, because most of the time in Gary's books, they're talking to him as a student of the course. So I pulled the ones where they're talking to him as a teacher of the course for when Gary does his, you know, his podcasts and his workshops and all that. And then chapter 8 is called Those Who Seek Controversy. And I talk a little bit about, you know, Gary's usually in the center of controversy, so I have some things to say about that in that chapter. And then part three is basically, I just call it the quotes, and it's mostly those quotes I've been posting on the Yahoo group, on Facebook, and elsewhere. And I divide it into chapters by particular subject matter. The first chapter of that section, I titled Jesus, Jeshua, Yeshua, Jay, or how about J-Dog? And it's all these different names for Jesus, and it's just a chapter of quotes about Jesus. And then chapter 10 in the book is called Forgiveness as a Way of Life. And again, it's just more quotes being pulled from Atanapursa, and I threw in some course quotes too. That's the other thing too. I don't just pull stuff from Atanapursa. I pull out some stuff from A Course in Miracles as well, which comes naturally because Atanapursa quote the course so much anyway, so that will come with a lot of course material too. And chapter 11 is called Forgiving What Gets in Your Face. Chapter 12 is called Unconscious Guilt, subtitled The Root of All Evil. Chapter 13 is the definitive statements. Martin and Person make a point to point out the definitive statements in A Course in Miracles, so I pulled those quotes out and put them into that chapter there. Chapter 14, the crucifixion, resurrection, the second coming of Christ, and oneness. Chapter 15, the unreality of the body. Chapter 16, the illusory nature of the universe. Chapter 17, spiritual healing. Chapter 17, spiritual healing. Chapter 18, it's about time. Chapter 19, the tools. Basically, it's the three tools to get us in touch with the Holy Spirit. You know, true prayer, forgiveness, getting in touch with the Holy Spirit, you know, emergency situations. Actually, you know, another tool I also threw in there is laughter, because, you know, we take ourselves so damn seriously, sometimes spirituality so damn seriously, and we don't really need to do that. So I remember one of the tools is laughter, and I conclude the book with chapter called The Funnies, so that we can indeed remember to laugh. So I pulled out all the funny stuff, or what I thought was funny, from Gary's two books and post them in chapter 20 called The Funnies. And then I just have a short section called Wrapping This Puppy Up. And that's my book, and it's about 250 pages. And the topic for this evening is called Forgiveness. Thank you. Forgiveness is where the rubber meets the road. I almost forgot for a second. And the reason it's the forgiveness is where the rubber meets the road is because, you know, without forgiveness, Art and Persa say, you know, the course would be nothing but a beautiful and useless book. It's the application of the forgiveness is what's going to achieve the goal of the course. Without it, we're not going to get anywhere. We're just going to spin our wheels. And there's more than enough quotes from the course saying, you know, forgiveness is the only way here, you know. The way to God is through forgiveness here. There is no other way. That's one of the workbook lessons, workbook lesson 256. And there's plenty of other quotes. Without forgiveness, I will still be blind. For forgiveness is the only means whereby Christ's vision comes to me. Forgiveness ends all suffering and loss. Forgiveness paints a picture of a world where suffering is over, loss becomes impossible, and anger makes no sense. God is our goal. Forgiveness is the means by which our minds return to Him at last. Peace fills my heart and floods my body with the purpose of forgiveness. And I could go on, and maybe I will. Without forgiveness, will your dreams remain to terrify you, and the memory of all your father's love will not return to signify the end of dreams has come. And forgiveness is the only gift I give because it is the only gift I want. And everything I give myself. This is salvation's simple formula. Let us this day accept forgiveness as our only function. Why should we attack our minds and give them images of pain? Forgiveness shows us that God's will is one and that we share it. Forgiveness, fear binds the world. Forgiveness sets it free. Today I claim the gift forgiveness gives. Forgiveness ends the dream of conflict here. Forgiveness lets me know that minds are joined. And so basically without this forgiveness gig, you know, we're not going to remove the blocks to awareness of love's presence. Like it says in the introduction to the course, it's not about learning how to be a more loving person. It's about, you don't have to worry about love. You know, when you do your forgiveness work, you know, love is revealed naturally because that is what you are. And let me see. Somebody's asking about, got a forgiveness story. Actually, I do have a forgiveness story. Actually, it was even before I was into the course. I was working on these with guided meditations that tapped into the unconscious mind. So I wasn't really doing conscious work. It was working on me on an unconscious level, which is kind of like doing your true forgiveness work, except it's a little more complicated than just doing true forgiveness. Because you have to take the time to do it, and you have to, like, you know, plop in the CD or the tape or whatever, and, you know, take the time and effort to do this. So I would work with these couple of people. I had two relatives, and I talk about this in my book, and, you know, they really just pushed my buttons like nobody else could. I had one relative who just annoyed the hell out of me, and another one, quite frankly, I was intimidated by, and I thought he was the, I say in my book, I say I thought he was the biggest butt wipe on the planet. And that's how I felt about him. But I started working with these guided meditations, and they're about 20 to 25 minutes long. And a few days after working with them, all of a sudden, these feelings I had for these two relatives just totally disappeared. And it was like, holy shit, this stuff really works. This person, he upset me for the first, you know, almost 30 years of my life. And all of a sudden, he stopped bothering me. And it was amazing because he stopped. After I forgave him, I felt compassion for him instead. I didn't feel this anger towards him anymore. It was like he was reflecting an aspect of my unconscious mind that needed healing. And once I healed it within, I didn't have that same resentment towards him anymore and that same fear and anger towards him. And I realized, wow, he was just mirroring back to me what needed healing within me. And the funny thing was, once I did that, I stopped running into him. I no longer saw him, you know, like regularly I would run into this person. And then once I did it, and he was no longer showing up, and the few times that he did it, like, it didn't disturb my peace of mind. And people that reminded me of him stopped showing up too. It was like, okay, that part of me is healed. Now, who else needs to be healed here, or what other aspects of my mind that need to be healed, more accurately stated? And the person that annoyed the hell out of me, you know, that same thing. I just felt compassion for this person instead. And so when I got to Disappearance of the Universe a few years later, I was like, wow, I already knew a lot of what they were talking about, because they're talking about this unconscious guilt and that forgiveness releases it. Though my technique was a little more complicated than when the one Art and Persa offered, I understood exactly what they were talking about, and I knew this stuff worked. So what Art and Persa did for me was kind of like give me a way of doing this forgiveness stuff right on the spot, because before it was like I had to go out of my way to do this forgiveness thing with the guided meditations that I did, because that's the only way I knew at the time. Now I could do it right on the spot and just change my way of looking at everything, where forgiveness becomes an attitude. And this, you know, this stuff really works. You just got to do it. And, you know, once you get the understanding down of the course and what's going on in your mind when you do the forgiveness work, it does work. The thing is, sometimes things may get worse before they get better, but they're not really getting worse. You're just noticing more. It's like stuff from the unconscious mind that was once suppressed and once buried and projected, you start seeing it within yourself. So, you know, it can be kind of scary, and it's not an easy spiritual path we're on here. You know, it does work, but it does take some time. Even though the course says, you know, this will eliminate thousands of years, but you still have the illusion of time to go through this and get to the end of the goal. You know, which is to return our awareness to where we really are and what we really are. I mean, that's the course in a nutshell. You know, there is no world; only God is real, and true forgiveness is the means to return our awareness to what we really are and where we really are. But it, you know, it does take a little bit of time to do that. You know, if you can get it done in this lifetime, then you're ahead of the game as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, some people might take two or three lifetimes or whatever, and that's fine. It's better than that thousand lifetimes or thousands of years. So that's how I see it. I'm trying to think. Let's see. We got a question here. What is your experience with disengaging belief in the body sickness and aligning with reality as spirit? Well, that's, you know, that's kind of a tricky one. I mean, because our reality is that we're a body and that we got bills to pay and that we get sick and that, you know, we have to bathe our bodies and feed it and, you know, we have to show up to work and stuff like that. For me personally, the only thing I can say is there have been times when I'd bang myself and that pain would just linger. Now I can stop myself and say, okay, the pain is not really in the body. The pain is in my mind, because the body is in my mind. Everything is in my mind, including the entire universe. So if I can remember that the pain is not in my elbow or knee when I bang, it's in my mind, I can make that pain go away quicker. It feels like I'm making it up, but I suppose that's the whole point, because we made this whole freaking thing up. So And definitely sickness is a mindset. You know, it's not done consciously. We don't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to have cancer today. You know, this is done on a totally different level, on an unconscious level that we're not aware of. But we can get in touch with our power to change it. And even if we don't change it, we can still end the pain and suffering associated with it. Because theoretically, a master could still die of cancer, but just not feel the pain associated with it. That's the other thing, too, getting to cause and effect. You know, sometimes we'll get hung up about, oh, I must not be very spiritual because I'm not making enough money or things aren't going well in my life. Well, the course isn't about changing our lives. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's changing the way we look at it. You know, seek not to change the world, as the course says. Choose rather to change our mind about the world. When we do that, then we're coming from a place of cause instead of being at the mercy of the effect. Because if we're at the mercy of the effect, then we're screwed, because our happiness and our peace is dependent on what's going on outside of ourselves rather than within, because we can choose peace and happiness at any time. Certainly that's not always easy, because, you know, we got this thing called the ego, and the ego loves to suck us into being right, and it doesn't matter what it is. Well, the ego will find a way for us to be right, and that's the ego's number one play right there. The ego wants us to be right, and it's very easy to get sucked into it, because the ego is like instant gratification, being right, you know. Where with forgiveness, yeah, forgiveness does lead to peace and happiness, but you don't always experience it right away. So that's where the perseverance comes in, the vigilance to do this path, because you don't get that instant gratification all the time with the practice of true forgiveness. And sometimes it's just easier to be right because, you know, you get that instant fulfillment thing going on. So got kind of a little off track with the original question. But anyway, was there any other questions? Maybe I can go back to this one. No other questions at the moment. Let me see here. I'll read you a quick excerpt from my book, my introduction piece. And some of it I covered already, but to kind of reinforce the message. That's another thing with this book. You might be thinking, why am I writing a book with, you know, two-thirds of it from Gary's books? Well, Aaron and Persa say, you know, there's nothing wrong with repetition. In fact, it's perfectly all right, because we need to hear these ideas over and over and over and over again. That's how they become ingrained in us. The more you hear them and read them and listen to them, the easier it gets to apply this stuff. Because before, you know, it might take you longer to do forgiveness, but the more you read this stuff and listen to it and hear it, you'll find that the forgiveness process comes a lot quicker to you, because it's just becoming a part of you, this thought process. So repetition is mandatory, basically. You know, you can't just read, you know, Disappearance once or the Course book once and think you know it all. You may very well understand it all intellectually, but unless you're very disciplined, you're going to have to read it over and over again for it to sink in, and so that it becomes much easier to apply when you need it most. From the introduction piece of my book, this book is intended for those already familiar with Gary Renard's books and or the self-study course called The Course in Miracles. It's not a substitute for either, but rather it is more like a supplement to Gary's first two books, The Disappearance of the Universe and Your Immortal Reality, which heavily reference the aforementioned A Course in Miracles, a.k.a. The Course. That's not to say that if you have little or no familiarity with Gary's books or The Course, that you cannot derive any benefit from reading this book, as it could very well serve as your introduction. However, it is geared a little more towards those who already have some familiarity, geez, can't say that word today, with Gary's books and The Course, and just appreciate the necessary repetition and reminders to get this stuff on a deeper level, while helping one to stay focused and motivated on the ambitious task at hand, to completely undo the ego by the means of true forgiveness. Analogy I like to use about this book, I used to be a big sports fan back in the day. I still watch it, but I'm not like hung up on it as I was as a kid. But analogy I like to use about this book is that it's like watching the highlights of a sporting event on ESPN rather than watching the entire game. You get the gist of what went down, but not all the details. So for those who may be reading this who are not already familiar with Gary Renard's books, or perhaps have struggled in the past to understand A Course in Miracles, I highly recommend that you read Gary's first book, The Disappearance of the Universe, Straight Talk About Illusions, Past Lives, Religion, Sex, Politics, and the Miracles of Forgiveness. It's the best thing since, well, sliced bread. And it's the greatest gift I ever received, and I bought and paid for the book myself. Let me see. What else we got going on here before I continue? Let me read. Is there anything new? Someone's got a question. I've read only the course four times and does the lesson 20 times. Question: what does Gary Renard say? Do is my Jesus fist like a cheat sheet? Yes, it's like a cheat sheet. That's what he wrote in the foreword. Gary Renard, I forgot to mention that. He wrote the foreword for this book. I'll read it to you real quick. If I can get to the page here. So, forward by Gary Renard. It's less than a page long, so this won't take long. You've got to wonder about a guy who calls himself Giddy Up Mikey and compiles a book titled Dude, Where's My Jesus-ish? Oh, before I continue, you might be wondering where the Giddy Up comes from. I used to watch a lot of Seinfeld back in the day, and, you know, I pull up clips on YouTube and post them on my Facebook page once in a while. The character Kramer on Seinfeld used to say Giddy Up, so all of a sudden it became part of my everyday vocabulary, and then people started calling me Giddy Up, and so that's where Giddy Up Mikey came from Seinfeld, basically. So what kind of guy does that? I'll just start over. You got to wonder about a guy who calls himself Giddy Up Mikey and compiles a book titled Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? What kind of guy does that? I'll tell you, the kind that would order out for vegan pizza if two ascended masters showed up on his couch. Just kidding. Well, the vegan pizza, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for about 15, 16 years now. And one of the things of the back of Disappearance of the Universe is, what would you do if two ascended masters showed up on your couch? And one of the things was, would you call out for pizza? So that's where the vegan pizza thing came in here on the forward. So Gary goes on, Mikey's a great guy. Oh, that was nice of him. Sometimes I am. like me, Mikey is a masshole from Massachusetts. We're both self-actualized jerks working on our own forgiveness lessons. We're also both adamant about the teachings found in A Course in Miracles and devote most of our time to studying and sharing this important message. Mikey's also a personal friend who I've had the pleasure of spending some good times with. On top of that, he's made consistent and important contributions to the online study group that discusses my books, which is the biggest A Course in Miracles study group in the world. It wouldn't be the same without him. I thought that was really nice what he wrote there. I wasn't expecting that. What Mikey's done with this book is create a valuable tool for directly accessing course concepts as taught by Art and Persa in a topic-based fashion. Additionally, he's added his rather colloquial insights, which make this book a light, humorous read, a refreshing change from most course-related materials. My first book, The Disappearance of the Universe, is frequently referred to as the can opener that helps students open the rather heady A Course in Miracles book. Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish is like a cheat sheet that helps you make the grade. If this book turns more folks onto A Course in Miracles, and I expect it will, then we have Mikey to thank for growing our beloved course community and helping us all to get home. So I thought that was really nice of Gary to do that. And anyway, let me see what else we got written here. I think that was it, unless I'm missing something. I'll go back to finishing the introduction piece to my book. I was talking about you can read excerpts of Disappearance at Gary's website and see if that's for you. And that's one thing, you know, Disappearance isn't for everybody, and I don't try to force this on anybody. I just put it out there, and whoever takes a liking to it does, and whoever doesn't, that's fine too. I'm not here to, like, convert people. I just put it out there, share some of my experiences, and whatever works for people is, you know, I don't care. I really don't care about people's personal beliefs. I just share mine. If it sounds like that works for you, that's great. If not, that's fine too. You know, everyone's got to do what feels right for them. So where was I? By the way, Gary is very proud of the fact, as he informs us on his podcast, that he came up with that website name all by himself, GaryRenard.com. I remember one time he kidded around. He said, I hired a consultant. anyway, also check out my recommended material section at the end of this book for all things Gary Renard. So basically at the end of my book, I list all his CDs and his books and places that you can find Gary and stuff. Gary's first two books are written in a dialogue format. Gary is the student, while his teachers are two ascended masters that go by the names of Art and Persa. We're two of Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, Thaddeus and Thomas, respectively. They refer to Jesus as J, as they did not know him as Jesus, but rather as Yeshua, and they say that a proper translation into Greek and into English would have been Jeshua. So they simply refer to him as J in order to cover both Jesus and Jeshua. Getting to the Ascended Masters thing, you know, some people might get hung up on the Ascended Masters appearing to Gary and materializing and all that. To me, I didn't even give that a second thought. It didn't matter to me if Gary made him up or not. I certainly don't think he did, but if he did, I really don't care, because frankly, it's all about the teachings for me. And I know Arden in person, like I say, I'll just continue. I'll get to that point anyway. Arden in person promised in the first chapter of the spiritual masterpiece, The Disappearance of the Universe, that they will supply all the answers to life's biggest questions. You will find out what you really are, how you got here, exactly why you and all the other people behave and feel the way that you do, why the universe keeps repeating the same patterns over and over again, why people get sick, the reason behind all failure, accidents, addictions, poverty, and natural disasters, the real cause of all the violence, crime, war, and terrorism in the world, the only meaningful solution to all of these things, and how to apply it. For those of you who are new to all this, well... You know, I hope this isn't a PG-rated show, because I'm screwed if I am, because I do curse a little bit in my book. No F-bombs, but I do use some curse words. For those of you who are new to all this, well, to be perfectly blunt, I'm not here to blow sunshine up your ass, as I'm not exactly a people pleaser or a yes man. There are plenty of candy-coated spiritual teachings out there for you to choose from if that's what you want. I have no investment in people feeling warm and fuzzy about me and have no political agenda, so like Gary and his teachers, I'm free to just tell it straight up for those who are ready to hear it. As Persa tells Gary in Disappearance, people need to be educated. People need to be educated, but if you really tell them the truth, then you're bound to give up some popularity. But it's better to tell them the truth and have some people walk out on you than to tell them only what they want to hear and have them stay. So that's what I'm all about and where I'm coming from. Anyway, it's not my intention to be such a hard ass, but I wouldn't be doing anybody any favors by compromising on Art and Persa's as well as Jay's teachings. And I see the course the same exact way as they and Gary all do. And Jesus wouldn't be Jesus if he had compromised on these teachings. I have no interest or desire in making up my own thing or incorporating dualistic teachings into the course and telling people that those teachings are saying the same thing as the course. I'm a straight shooter, so you're not going to get any bullshit from me. Only a sincere desire to be truly helpful. So if you're one who is seeking an intellectual truth that, when applied, will eventually lead you to an experiential truth, then you've come to the right place. The message in Gary's books is designed to help you save time, so I'm just passing along the message while reinforcing it for myself. That's the other thing, you know, I don't claim to have mastered the material, that's for sure. I'm still working on my forgiveness lessons. I just know it works because things that once pushed my buttons no longer upset me. So I can look back on things from a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and so forth, and realize things that once upset me no longer upset me. So I know that's how I know it's working for me. So anyway, getting back to the writing here. For all the newbies, now may be a good time for you to burn this book or run it through a shredder, or better yet, donate it to your local library or resell it on Amazon.com, because you don't know what the hell you're going to be getting yourself into here. This isn't quote-unquote fast food spirituality, as this particular spiritual path separates the men from the boys, metaphorically speaking, of course. For those of you who have already set foot on the spiritual path, well, there's no turning back now. Now, without further ado, here's a revised version of an article I wrote for my local newspaper, the Ashland Daily Tidings. It was printed in the March 7th, 2009 edition. It explains what The Disappearance of the Universe is all about. Of all the books I've read during my many years of feasting in the spiritual buffet line, nothing has explained the truth about God and our existence and why we're seemingly here any clearer to me than Gary Renard's The Disappearance of the Universe. You know, a lot before I got into Gary's stuff, there was a lot of stuff out there that left me with unanswered questions. It's like, I understood what they were talking about, but I felt like there was still something missing. And it was like Disappearance just brought it all home for me. It was like, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. But it had to come to me when I was ready for it. Because, you know, if you would have handed me a copy of Disappearance of the Universe 10 years ago, I would have been like, what the hell is this? But, you know, 2007, I was ready. And I was like, I was so ready that it didn't freak me out. I was like, oh, I already know this. This is great. And they just simplified and tied up the loose ends for me. So getting back to where I was at here in the book. Okay, Disappearance addresses heavy subject matter while cutting to the chase in no uncertain terms, and doing so in a very entertaining and humorous fashion. I highly recommend it, though it's not intended for the squeamish, nor the faint of heart, as the material is not sugar-coated. Forgiveness is the theme of the spiritual path presented in Disappearance. Gary's teachers tell us forgiveness is where the rubber meets the road. That's the title for tonight's show. Forgiveness is where the rubber meets the road. Without forgiveness, metaphysics are useless. Of course, they're talking about forgiveness in the quantum sense rather than what traditionally passes as forgiveness in this world. As Gary's teachers say, the kind of forgiveness Jay used, and that his course is teaching, of course, they're talking about forgiveness in the quantum sense rather than what traditionally passes as forgiveness in this world. As Gary's teachers say, the kind of forgiveness Jay used, and that his course is teaching, is not the same kind of forgiveness that Christianity and the world sometimes participate in. If it were, then it would be a waste of time. So, I'm impressive, just very direct and to the point, very blunt, and I love that. That's my kind of style. I don't like sugarcoating. So, disappearance is the unofficial cliff notes to A Course in Miracles, or as Gary would call it, street language for the course. He once said that on one of his podcasts. He called it street language. A Course in Miracles is a spiritual, purely non-dualistic self-study course, which is often referred to in Disappearance. The course is over 1,300 pages long and consists of the text, workbook for students, manual for teachers, and the most recent edition includes two pamphlets called Psychotherapy, Purpose, Process, and Practice, and the Song of Prayer. That third edition of the course came out in 2007, so it has those two extra pamphlets in there, published by Foundation for Inner Peace. Written in Shakespearean blank verse and loaded with subtly humorous rhetorical questions while being holographic in nature, the course is Jesus' teachings the way I believe they are intended to be, consistent and uncompromising, all about love and forgiveness, and absolutely nothing to do with sin, fear, guilt, sacrifice, and showing up to church on Sunday. As Gary's teachers put it, the course is Jesus speaking as an artist correcting the Bible. And as Jay states in his course, those who seek controversy will find it, yet those who seek clarification will find it as well. The course is all about the healing of the subconscious mind, which entails looking at your illusions, examining them, and eventually releasing them through the process of true forgiveness. As it states in the course, no one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way they are protected. So we have to be willing to look at our, you know, what the course calls our secret sins and hidden hates, because if we don't, if we continue to gloss them over, then they'll just, you know, they'll just stay in place. So we've got to be really, really willing to look at all that crap that we all have. Anyway, the course gives you the practical tools necessary in order to attain the objective of lasting inner peace and happiness, and ultimately enlightenment, regardless of what is going on in the world and with your own personal life circumstances. Yeah, that's the thing with the course. It's like it just empowers you to the point where you don't have to worry about what other people are doing. You don't have to worry about what the government's doing. You don't have to worry about the world going to war. You know, you can be at peace and be happy regardless of all that, because that's what the course is about. You know, it's about being at cause and not being at the mercy of the effect. Okay. Through the application of true or quantum forgiveness, you're taking full responsibility for your life's experiences, including the experiences that are not seemingly your fault, because on the level of the unconscious mind, you made it all up. So we kind of came in here with this script that we made up on a totally unconscious level that we're not aware of. You know, then we get upset and angry at people, and we think it's justified, and you know, maybe on a human level it is, but if you want to do the course, you got to understand that anger is never justified, and there's no compromise on that. That's, you know, it's a simple concept, not necessarily always easy, because there'll always be somebody to come around to give you a reason to be upset and angry. So it's definitely what the course calls a course in mind training, and an untrained mind can accomplish nothing. It's like, you know, we need that mind training to get us to react differently, to remember that it's a dream we made up, instead of being, you know, a victim, because, you know, there are no victims in this world, not really. There may seem to be, but it's our choice to be a victim or not. You know, we can choose to see everything with the Holy Spirit, or we can choose to see it with the ego. Anyway, I'll continue here. With quantum forgiveness, you're not forgiving people because they really did something. You're forgiving them because they haven't really done anything. Whatever pushes your buttons and pisses you off on any given day is symbolic of what's in your own unconscious mind. Once you really get that the world is not being done to you, but rather by you, then what you're really doing by practicing true forgiveness is forgiving the symbolic contents of your own mind. So nobody is ever really a victim of this world. As the Course puts it, I am not the victim of the world I see. Indeed, you are the maker of it. Not always easy to accept, but it is definitely the truth. As Gary's teachers ask, are you going to get that you're not a victim and take responsibility for dreaming, or are you going to make it real and stay stuck here? You know, Art and Persa, anytime Gary whines about something in his books, you know, whether someone screwed over his book or somebody on the internet that's not being nice, you know, Art and Persa come right back and say, well, do you want to be a victim, or do you want to take responsibility for your dream? And it, you know, and I've had points, you know, being in a workplace where this one person could just talk to me in this condescending attitude, and I'd be angry about it. And I was like, okay, I got to remind myself here. Do I want to be a victim of this dream, or do I want to take responsibility for it? And once I take responsibility for it and realize it's something that's coming from me and not at me, that changes your whole experience of it. Then you can laugh about it, because, you know, that was another thing being in the workplace recently with this person. This person would come in with this condescending attitude sometimes, and I got to the point where instead of being rattled by it or angry with it or upset by it, I could laugh at it. And this person would, like, freaked out because I was laughing instead. And that's it, you know. Laughter is so powerful, because if we take things too seriously, then we're screwed. But if we remember to laugh and lighten up, then we don't have to take it seriously, and that changes our experience. And it's better to have laughter than anger, that's for sure. Anyway, as Jay states in the course, beware of the temptation to perceive yourself unfairly treated. That's the key one. Beware of the temptation to perceive yourself unfairly treated. Getting back to that whole victim thing, and take a responsibility for your dream. Anyway, this isn't the most glamorous of spiritual paths, because it's not about manifesting stuff. You know, you get a lot of New Age teachings out there, you know, like The Secret and stuff, and it's all about getting stuff, and I'm not opposed to that by any means, because I like stuff too, especially my iPod. You know, if we make it all about getting stuff, then, you know, we're not going to get anywhere with our spirituality, because, you know, that's not healing the unconscious mind, getting stuff. Anyway, this isn't about manifesting stuff. It's about undoing the muck buried in the subconscious mind. So it's not always pretty dressed up with lipstick and powder. However, it does have teeth. As Gary's teachers say, the most striking evidence of this approach's validity will be that it works. And yes, this forgiveness thing does work. It'll take time, for sure, but it does work. And as the Course states, no one who learns from experience that one choice brings peace and joy while another brings chaos and disaster needs additional convincing. From my experience, I can assure you that true forgiveness does in fact work. It does, however, take practice to develop faith and trust in it. From what you start experiencing the benefits of doing this work, it encourages and inspires you to keep going. And eventually it does become easier. That's the thing with this forgiveness thing. It may be hard at times, and, you know, you have to look at all this crap within yourself, and it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. You can be scared. But, you know, you got to do it in little pieces here and there, and eventually, you know, you start developing momentum, and you start developing a trust for it, and then you start seeing results of stuff that once upset you. It's no longer upsetting you. It's like, okay, this is working, and it gives you that confidence to keep going with it. So that is encouraging for you to start, when you start doing it, when you start seeing these little results here and there. Though the Course is presented in Christian terminology, it is very Eastern-like in its theology and practice, as it gets in touch with the power of the mind. I don't recommend taking it on without having read Disappearance first, as it will save you much time while helping you really grasp the heart of the Course. All spiritual paths lead to God. That's the other thing, too. You know, if it wasn't for Disappearance in the Universe, you know, I had heard of A Course in Miracles. I used to listen to a lot of Wayne Dyer back in the 1990s, and he would mention it occasionally, but I never felt drawn to explore it for myself. And if I had, I would have been like, what the hell is this thing? I wouldn't have understood a word of it. I would have thought it was something biblical, Christian sounding. I would have just been totally turned off by it had I tried to explore that for myself. So basically, somewhere in my book, I say, you know, if it wasn't for Gary's books, I wouldn't have touched the Course with a 10-foot pole. So anyway, getting back to what I was reading here. All spiritual paths lead to God in the end, as it says in the Course. However, the Course does imply that this is a faster way. The Course is simple, however, it's not easy. As we all have this thing called the ego, and it would much rather you be right than be happy and at peace. And as Jay asks us in the Course, do you prefer that you be right or happy? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Back in my days as a smart-ass teenager, I was like, well, I'm happy when I'm right, damn it. Anyway, I know better now that, you know, all being right will do is keep me stuck here on Cycle Planet, as Persa calls it. So I know it's better to be happy. Although, you know, back to that ego thing and being right, you know, you get that instant gratification, but it doesn't last. So got to do the forgiveness thing. This path isn't about fixing up your life. It's about waking up from what you think is your life. And as Gary's teachers would add to that, that's not just a minor distinction. That's the thing, you know. It's not about making our dream more pretty and having a better illusion. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, I'd like to have a better illusion too, but, you know, again, do the forgiveness work, then it doesn't matter, because then we're coming from cause instead of effect. So this is about waking up from our dream that we're here in a body, and that we're here in a world and in a universe, because we're not really here. We're really safe with God in heaven. And, you know, Arna Persa say heaven is like this endless peak of an orgasm. And, you know, that sounds pretty damn cool to me. So I'm all for that. Anyway, although it's not about fixing up your life, it can, however, be a fringe benefit. As you know, as you do this forgiveness work, things may change on the level form, but that's not what it's about. If they change, that's great. That's just a fringe benefit. If they don't, then, you know, it's not a big deal, because if you're really doing the forgiveness work, then you're at peace regardless of how your life is. So anyway, what was I saying? Okay. Although it's not about fixing up your life, it can, however, be a fringe benefit. And Mikey's down with fringe benefits. Yes, I am down with fringe benefits. I'm all for fringe benefits. Anyway, sticking to this path requires faith, trust, discipline, patience, vigilance, perseverance, as well as the willingness to question every motive that you have and every value that you hold, the ability to be objective with yourself, and the determination to face all of your fears. You know, this on this path, you got to face all your fears. Because if we pretend they don't exist and gloss them over, then, you know, they'll just stay stuck there. So we got to do the forgiveness work in order to be free of all our fears. And we all have fears, or otherwise we wouldn't be here or appear to be here. So we're all afraid of something. And it always comes back down to that, you know, fear of God, basically. When you trace it all back, you know, all these fears we do have show up symbolically as that, as the fear of God. And once we remove the unconscious guilt from our mind, the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, then it would be impossible to experience fear. So it's all about very important to face our fears, because that's what gets us in touch with our unconscious guilt. And once we're aware of it, we can release it through the forgiveness process. Okay, referring back to the book here. Anyway, sticking to this path requires faith, trust, discipline, patience, vigilance, perseverance, as well as the willingness to question every value that you have and every motive that you have and every value that you hold, the ability to be objective with yourself, and the determination to face all your fears. Oh, and did I mention faith and trust? Being a little sarcastic there, because it does take faith and does take trust in the spiritual path. Anyway, as Gary's teachers put it, comfort is the goal, but not necessarily the means. So, you know, looking at all this stuff is not very comfortable. You know, it can freak us out. But that's a good thing, because we're getting in touch with our unconscious guilt. And once we're in touch with our unconscious guilt, then if we apply forgiveness to it, realize it's just a dream, that nobody's guilty, including yourself, and we can eventually be free of it. You know, it does take time, again, but, you know, just do it, you know, as the opportunities present themselves. All that said, however, it's not about giving anything up. As Jay puts it in the course, this course does not attempt to take from you the little that you have. Yes, you know, sacrifice and love are mutually exclusive. You know, this path is not about giving anything up. It's just about changing the way we look at everything, because we're not giving anything up. Although it may feel that way, but it's not the case, because we're really giving up nothing in exchange for everything. And everything, who doesn't want God in heaven? Who doesn't want that endless orgasm and a bliss so, you know, so powerful that, you know, my words can't even describe it. So it's beyond words. It's beyond all highs, as Art and Persa say. You know, anything we can experience here is, you know, heaven can top it. It's beyond all highs, as they say. So it's really about letting go of your psychological attachment to it all, as well as forgetting not to laugh. Yes, our psychological attachment. You know, if we're hung up on things happening a certain way, then, you know, that's fear. We're afraid of it not coming out right. We're afraid of losing it, or whatever it is that we're afraid of. That's your psychological attachment. And if we get to an attitude where you don't care what anybody thinks about you, you don't care if you get the girl or if you don't get the job and all that, then you come in place from non-detachment. And it's not fun to have those things, but if we need to have them to have happiness and peace, then, you know, as Gary would say, we're screwed. And it gets back to that cause and effect thing, because, you know, we're at the mercy of the effect and we're in trouble. because one thing we can count on with the effect is that it's going to change, where if you're at cause, it's not going to change because your inner peace and happiness is there regardless because you're doing the forgiveness work. So if you come from that mindset, then you're all good. And forgetting not to laugh, you know, sometimes you just take things so seriously, whether it's the news or your boss or your spouse or, you know, your neighbors being annoying or whatever, you know. And if we remember to laugh, then not only does it change our experience, it's even if you're not a course student, even if you don't want to be a course student, I mean, just laughing in itself is from a bodily perspective, it's just healthier for the body. It's obviously healthier for the mind, too. And you don't have to be a course student to benefit from laughter, because I have a friend here in town, or she used to be a laughter yoga instructor. And, you know, it's all about laughing and making yourself feel good. And, you know, sometimes I'll be at places and I get in this laughing thing where we can't stop laughing. And it doesn't happen too often, but when it does, it's great because it like, just makes you feel freer. It's like, wow, this is all so surreal. And it's a pretty wild experience when you're laughing nonstop for, like, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. It makes it really feel like a dream, because this world doesn't feel like a dream most of the time. But if you're remembering to laugh more and more, then it starts becoming, experiencing it more like a dream. And that's what we want to go for with the course, you know, the experience that it is a dream and become the figure in a dream that we really are until we don't need the figure anymore. Because these bodies, you know, maintaining a body is just, you know, it's just one big pain in the ass. I mean, everything revolves around a body. We get up in the morning, you know, after being asleep all night, we gotta eat, you gotta jump in the shower and bathe. Maybe you have to clip your fingernails and your toenails. You know, you gotta brush your hair, and you gotta brush your teeth and all that. It's like, Jesus Christ. And that's just first thing in the morning, you know. You still gotta bring yourself to work or whatever you do during the day. And, you know, you gotta put on clothes, you gotta put on shoes, you know. And it's just so much maintenance with basic stuff, you know, this whole bodily thing, you know. And then, you know, the body isn't going to always go right, you know. You might have to get glasses, or you might have to get a hearing aid, or, you might get sick, and then you're stuck in bed for a few days or something. So this whole bodily thing is just a real drag sometimes, you know. So if we become the figure in the dream until we do away with the body completely, that would be pretty damn cool, now, wouldn't it? anyway, someone mentioned Jim Twyman. Yeah, I don't know him. I never met him, but he lives in Ashland too. So does Neil Donald Walsh. He lives here in Ashland. In fact, Neil Donald Walsh had a movie, Conversations with God movie, which was a bit misleading because I think some people expected the movie to be about his teachings, but... Ashland's in Oregon. It's in the southern end of Oregon, right near the California border. Getting back to Neil Walsh with the Conversations with God movie, I think a lot of people expected his movie to be about his teachings, but it was basically more about what led to him being, you know, a New Age author and a speaker and stuff. But I got to be an extra in his movie. They filmed a lot of the scenes here in the Ashland-Medford area here in Oregon. And... one scene they filmed at the Ashland High School, and they had a bunch of people in the auditorium, and I was one of them. And one of the opening scenes, the character playing Neil, he's speaking to the audience, and so I could be spotted actually a few times in the opening scene there. And, I'm wearing a denim shirt, and I have my hair down, and, you know, and I do a nice seat shift, as I like to say. I kind of just shift in my seat after a certain response, because I'm sitting next to the heckler in the audience, so that was pretty cool. But anyway, let me see, I only got about less than 10 minutes here. I was going to pull something out real quick from my book that I could read to you. I have two chapters on forgiveness in the quote section of my book. And the first one's called Forgiveness is a Way of Life. Before I get into the course, before I got into the quotes from Martin Persa, I put some course quotes preceding that. So I figured I'd read those to you before we sign off here. So what is forgiveness? Because a lot of people might have some confusion on what forgiveness really means as far as the course goes. You know, because forgiveness, as the world traditionally sees it, is like somebody did something wrong, and you're going to say, okay, you know, you did that, but I'll let you off the hook. You know, you're probably still going to hell, but, you know, I'll let it slide. But with real forgiveness, what the Course calls forgiveness, you know, it's realizing that nobody's done anything. It's realizing that we made them up. It's our dream. It's a projection that's coming from us and not at us. So if we take responsibility for it, it's like, okay, that person didn't really do anything. I wanted that person to be there. I mean, not consciously. You didn't wake up saying, oh, I want somebody to piss me off today. You know, it's done on a totally unconscious level. So that way we project our guilt instead of accepting it as our own. But if we accept it as our own, then we can be free of it by applying forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? As the Course says, forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It does not pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin, and in that view are all your sins forgiven. And there's another workbook lesson. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. Here is the answer to your search for peace. Here is the key to meaning in a world that seems to make no sense. Here is the way to safety in apparent dangers that appear to threaten you at every turn. It brings uncertainty to all your hopes of ever finding quietness and peace. Here are all questions answered. Here the end of all uncertainty assured at last. Another workbook lesson. Forgiveness offers everything I want. What could you want forgiveness cannot give? Do you want peace? Forgiveness offers it. Do you want happiness, a quiet mind, a certainty of purpose, and a sense of worth and beauty that transcends the world? Do you want care and safety and the warmth of sure protection always? Do you want quietness that cannot be disturbed? A gentleness that never can be hurt, a deep abiding comfort, and a rest so perfect it can never be upset. All this forgiveness offers you and more. It sparkles on your eyes as you awake and gives you joy with which to meet the day. It soothes your forehead while you sleep and rests upon your eyelids so you see no dreams of fear and evil, malice and attack. And when you wake again, it offers you another day of happiness and peace. All this forgiveness offers you and more. Another workbook lesson. Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. It is your forgiveness that will bring the world of darkness to the light. It is your forgiveness that lets you recognize the light in which you see. Forgiveness is the demonstration that you are the light of the world. Through your forgiveness does the truth about yourself return to your memory. Therefore, in your forgiveness lies your salvation. The only purpose is a part in the Course says the only purpose. The real world is the state of mind in which the only purpose of the world is seen to be forgiveness. Fear is not its goal, for the escape from guilt becomes its aim. The value of forgiveness is perceived and takes the place of idols, which are sought no longer, for their gifts are not held dear. You know, we all have idols of some sort, and it's okay, you know, to enjoy the things of this world. We don't have to give them up physically. You know, it's about letting go of our psychological attachment. And as we do that, you know, we can still enjoy the stuff of this world, but we're not attached to it. And that's just much more freeing experience. Then I make a note here in my book about, according to the Concordance of A Course of Miracles, the words forgive, forgiveness, forgiving, and forgiving, forgiven and forgiving show up in the Course a total of 835 times. You know, not everyone understands that the Course is about forgiveness. When it comes down to it, it's, you know, it's forgiveness. And for that word to show up 835 times says something. You know, the practice of true forgiveness is A Course in Miracles. No one's going to attain the goal of the Course without the application of true forgiveness. As Jay states in the Course, you who want peace can find it only by complete forgiveness. So there's another piece from the Course. Forgiveness is the only road that leads out of disaster, past all suffering, and finally away from death. How could there be another way when this one is the plan of God himself? And why would you oppose it, quarrel with it, seek to find 1,000 ways in which it must be wrong? That's the ego for you. 1,000 other possibilities. Is it not wiser to be glad you hold the answer to your problems in your own hand? In your own hand. All you can do is choose that true forgiveness. Is it not more intelligent to thank the one who gives salvation and accept his gift with gratitude? And is it not a kindness to yourself to hear this voice, to hear his voice and learn the simple lessons he would teach? Instead of trying to dismiss his words and substitute your own in place of his words will work. So Jay is very blunt too in the Course about, you know, forgiveness works, and, you know, without it you can't achieve the goal of the Course. So and it's almost that time. It's about 5 of. Let me see. I'm going to take a quick look through here if there was any questions. So we talked about Oregon. And I guess there wasn't really any questions, but if someone had a quick question, I might be able to share here in the next couple of minutes. Or maybe I can find something in my book to read real quick. If that's the case, if nobody has anything. Oh, maybe I'll end this thing with I'll pull a few funnies from my funnies chapter. So it's always good to end the workshop, or not in this case a workshop, but you know, a talk on with some laughter. Let me see what I can find real quick here. There was something about... here we go. So Artin's talking to Gary here, and Artin's speaking. You'll soon be entering a phase of your earthly life where you'll be... where you'll begin to be a little less concerned with bodily adventures and a little more concerned with accomplishments. In your case, spiritual accomplishments. Many men are preoccupied with physical pleasures in the earlier part of their lives. But as they begin to get a little older, their pursuit of sex is replaced by something else. Gary, erectile dysfunction? Artin, no, it's something called maturity. Excuse me. Got a little tickle in my throat there. Oh, here's Artin speaking to Gary again. Since the Course teaches that you have only two emotions, love and fear, then the Holy Spirit sees everything in the world as either an expression of love or a call for love. Now, if someone's expressing love, what would be an appropriate response from you? Gary, love, of course. And Artin responds back, excellent, Gary. That high school diploma is finally starting to pay off. You know, Artin and Percy just rip him mercilessly in this book at times. Here's another part. Percy speaking to Gary, hey, teacher of God, what's up? Gary, if I told you, you'd slap my face. Percy, did we forget to take our anti-smartass pill this morning? You know, there's a lot of stuff like that. So I pulled all that stuff that I thought was amusing. And, of course, I'm easily amused, so not everyone will find it funny. But, I'm easily amused. So I pulled all the easily amused stuff out of Gary's two books and put them in the chapter called The Funnies. And it's 5:59. So thank you all for listening and being here this evening. It was great sharing this with all of you. And I'll turn the mic back over to David. And thank you very much for having me on, David. Appreciate it very much. And I'll see you in San Francisco this weekend. I'll be at the Course in Miracles conference there for 3 days. I won't be there as a speaker, but I'll be there to hang out, and I'll have copies of my book there and stuff. So anyway, thank you all. Giddy up.
Okay, thank you so much, Mike Lemieux. And yes, I've certainly been looking forward to seeing you in San Francisco next week. Thank you so much for your willingness to be here and to share with all of us that book. And thank you so much for reading parts of it. Certainly, exactly as you say, Gary Renard brings just so many people to A Course in Miracles. I call him one of the Pied Pipers. That basically leads so many people to A Course in Miracles. Of course, you're one of them. As you said, you would never, ever have picked up that blue book with a gold border if it wasn't for a guy from Poland Springs, Maine, who wrote a book called The Disappearance of the Universe. Thank you so much, Mike Lemieux.